It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, you know, people get so confused. Are grains good for you? Are they bad for you? Is it good to get the fiber? Does it cause bloat? Really, what's going on out there? My guest is Dr. Joseph Mercola. He is a New York Times best-selling author and an osteopathic physician. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mercola. Let's speak about grains now. Are they good for us? Are they bad for us? Why all the confusion?
Well, I was confused, too. When I went to medical school, in fact, I was actually called Dr. Fiber, because I was promoting whole grains and thought they were one of the best foods you can eat. And this is really ingrained in our nutritional consciousness, and people think that whole grains loaded with fiber are good for you. But actually, they break down to sugar. Even whole organic grains do, and they can cause your body to generate more insulin and leptin, which are at the cause of most chronic degenerative diseases.
So, okay, this the fiber part we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Are you, what do we do to get fiber if we're going to go grain-free?
Well, fiber should ideally, in my view, should be obtained from healthy vegetables, organic, locally grown, preferably. And they have all the fiber you'll need. And you can get it from fruits, too.
Now, what about, okay, so when we're talking grains, people, let's just clear this up for everyone, Dr. Mercola. What are you talking about grains? Should we not be with legumes? Are you talking about wheat and, you know, the bread products, things like that, the multi-grain breads everyone thinks is so good?
Well, but there's no question most of us consume far too many of them. If you're healthy, if you don't have signs of insulin or leptin resistance, which about 85% of the people listening to this do, and how do you know if you have insulin resistance? You are overweight, you have diabetes, you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol. Those are all signs of insulin resistance. So if you have any of those things, it's probably best to stay away from these foods until you get that under control. But if you're healthy and you don't have that, then in moderation, it's probably okay.
Well, and type 2 diabetes is an insulin resistant disease, and you know, so your beta cells aren't damaged or destroyed. You're just resistant to the actions of insulin. So if we're using fiber, we're eating our fresh, healthy vegetables, do we steer clear of beans? Do we steer clear of legumes? Like, you know, I mean, I love lentils and things like that.
Well, if you're in the 15% of the population that don't have signs of insulin resistance, then I think in moderation they're fine. But if you're not and you're struggling with one of these conditions, then I would think it'd be worth a trial to go off of it and see what happens.
Now, what about inflammatory foods, Dr. Mercola? Because sometimes they go hand in hand.
Well, sure. In fact, inflammation is a part of almost every major chronic disease, including cancer, heart disease, autoimmune disease, or arthritis, Alzheimer's, diabetes. It even accelerates the aging process and make you look much older than your age. So, yes, it's definitely something that you want to control.
And give us your best anti-inflammatory foods, if you would.
Well, generally a diet that's going to keep your insulin leptin levels low. So really restricting your carbohydrates to non-starchy vegetables would be my primary recommendation. If you're looking for a supplement, I think the best supplement out there is astaxanthin, which is an extract from algae.
Say it again now and tell people where they can find that.
Astaxanthin, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. And it's available online at a lot of many different stores.
Okay, so when we're talking about anti-inflammatory foods, and people have been hearing more and more about leaky gut, what is that? And how do grains, starchy foods, you know, foods that are not really healthy, contribute to that?
Well, your gut is normally intact, and it's lined with cells. And when you eat inflammatory foods, especially grains for many people, it can cause those tight junctions that connect the cells to become loose and essentially form openings, in which case undigested food, primarily protein particles, can go in and they can contribute to really severe allergic conditions and cause lots of problems. So it's a big part of many, many illnesses, and that's why you want to restrict the grains and eat healthy foods. And fermented foods, in many cases, too, can help heal that because they're loaded with beneficial bacteria.
Ooh, I love my fermented foods, kimchi and such. Mm-hmm. Now, Absolutely. What about if you're a vegetarian and you need to get your protein, and you've been told all these years that nuts and legumes and beans are such a wonderful source, then what do you do?
Well, I never said anything about restricting nuts. And in fact, one of the newest pieces of information I've learned from Dr. Ron Rosedale is that we really need to restrict our protein. I think that's one of the primary reasons why most vegetarians are healthier, because they are, in fact, limiting their protein, because vegetables are not loaded with protein. So I think most of us don't need more than 40 to 70 grams a day, and that's very easy to get from vegetable sources. And just having some occasional animal foods for the fats primarily can be more than enough to fill your nutritional needs. But restricting the protein is probably a good thing, and actually radically decreases your risk of most cancers.
And some of the best anti-inflammatory foods. I mean, I love avocados. I feed it to You know, they're just so great, and my whole entire family loves them. And we're not vegetarians, so we love our salmon and herring.
Absolutely.
My kids will even eat anchovies and sardines.
Sure, perfect.
So those are great, but they like them on a cracker.
Yeah, well, you can make vegetable crackers. You can. Bit of a challenge. Or flaxseed crackers is another way to do that. But the best nuts would actually be macadamia nuts, because they're the lowest in protein and the highest in fat. If you eat a bag of almonds, you can overdose on protein, actually, so you have to be careful.
Wow, and macadamia nuts have really gotten a bad rap, Dr. Mercola.
Oh, I eat about 3 pounds a week.
And they don't put weight on you?
No, if actually, done with the principles I mentioned to restrict your non-starchy carbohydrates to vegetables, non-starchy vegetables, and limit your protein, and pretty much have healthy fats like avocados, macadamia nuts, olive oil, butter, that will optimize your weight. And another really interesting tool is something called intermittent fasting, where you restrict all your calories that you eat in a day to a 6 or 8 hour window. And you do that gradually, and when you do this, this helps your body shift from most everyone listening to, which is using carbohydrates as your primary fuel, to using fats as your primary fuel. And that actually helps you upregulate the enzymes that burn your fat.
Now, you know, we've always heard to steer clear of white products and stick with the brown ones, but of course we're saying brown rice could contribute even, you know, as a grain. What about things like sweet potatoes? Kind of starchy, but still really loaded with vitamins.
It's a good food if, in fact, you are not suffering with insulin or leptin resistance. And even if you are, if you have it occasionally, it's probably not the end of the world. But if you have them regularly and you have the diabetes or high blood pressure, high cholesterol, then you really are best avoiding them until you've got those conditions under control.
Well, and as long as you don't load them up with marshmallows and brown sugar, what about...
But you can use plenty of butter.
But you can use plenty of butter. Ooh, I'm such
ideally
a fan.
Ideally, grass-fed and organic.
Oh, exactly, grass-fed and organic. Ooh, that's so good. Now, what about gluten intolerance, Dr. Mercola? Because, boy, everything's gluten-free today. You can find aisles and aisles of gluten-free things.
Well, it's a pervasive problem. Many people struggle with it, especially if you happen to be of Irish heritage. Most of the people who are Irish have this issue. So they will consume non-gluten alternatives. Unfortunately, they're every bit as a problem for most people as the gluten was. They may not cause the inflammatory reactions, but they still will change the insulin leptin resistance, and they'll worsen it. So ideally, replacing them with non-starchy vegetables is your best alternative.
And it certainly is. Replacing these grains with non-starchy vegetables, making sure there's plenty of color and you can get your fiber with all the different wonderful lettuces and red peppers and carrots and even macadamia nuts. You can read more about Dr. Joseph Mercola at Mercola.com. You're listening to Radio MD. Listen anytime, on demand or on the go. Remember, all our shows are on podcast. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. We have so many great programs on Radio MD. Why don't you scroll around and learn something with us? Share them with your friends. This is Melanie Cole, and it certainly is all about staying well.